What's up, everybody? This is the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Yankees or at Stace Gots. As always, you can listen and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. And you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. You can also email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. In today's episode of Locked On Yankees, we'll discuss this weekend's disappointing performance against the lowly Toronto Blue Jays. We'll break down CC Sabathia's awful performance on Saturday and Dellin Betances' meltdown on Sunday. There were some positive developments this weekend. We'll discuss those. And finally, we'll go around the league. There are a lot of high-stakes series starting today, so this week should be fun. The weekend, however, was frustrating. After an 11-0 win on Friday, the Yankees lost in annoying fashion on Saturday, mounting a comeback that fell short, and lost Sunday in heartbreaking fashion, with Dellin Betances falling apart at the seams. So let's talk about Friday night first, because I'd like to lead off with positive stuff today. Masahiro Tanaka pitched 6 innings, gave up 4 hits, walked 2, and struck out 8. He is your leader for the wild card game starter. How can you even think about starting Luis Severino over Tanaka? And the other person who has a shot at the game is Happ, who's also been pitching well lately. But right now, I think Tanaka is the front runner for the wild card game start, especially if he keeps this up, because he has been incredible over the last month. And then Luis Sessa came in and pitched 3 scoreless innings. I think Sessa may have heard me bashing him the other day when I said he shouldn't pitch more than 1 inning, and he decided to step it up a bit on Friday night. Now, on the offensive side, the Yankees opened up the game by scoring 5 runs in the first, which made me giggle because back in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, when it was Derek Jeter and Chuck Knobloch leading off, my dad would always say, let's get 5 in the first. And the fact that they scored 5 in the first made me laugh because it made me think of my dad saying that. Because, I mean, he said it all the time. You could ask my brother. He will vouch for me. On the other side, Marco Estrada pitched 2 2/3 for the Blue Jays, and he was on the hook for 8 of the Yankees' 11 runs. The Yankees scored 3 more in the third. They added 1 in the fifth and then scored 2 in the eighth. And in that game, they were 5 for 11 with runners in scoring position. I know, I can't believe it either. Didi Gregorius hit his 24th home run of the season, which put him only 1 behind his personal record of 25, which he reached last season. Andrew McCutchen also hit a home run, bringing his season total to 18. And Aaron Judge appeared in the top of the eighth to play right field. He didn't bat, but the crowd gave him a nice hand when they realized what was happening. He didn't see any action in right field because no balls were hit his way, but having him activated and playing seemed to make a big difference and boost the team, or so we thought. Then Saturday happened. CeCe Sabathia and Tommy Kahnle both crapped themselves on the mound. It's the only way to put it. Sabathia gave up 5 runs in 2 1/3 innings, and gave up 3 home runs. Now, I don't boo people at games because I feel bad, but he was booed off the mound on Saturday. Then, after Chad Green and Jonathan Holder kept the Jays off the board for 3 2/3 combined, Kahnle came in and gave up 3 runs before he could get 3 outs. He was removed after only 2/3 of an inning. So he essentially put that game out of reach. And when the Yankees tried to mount a comeback, they scored 1 in the 6th, 6 in the 7th. They fell a run short of tying the game. Miguel Andujar hit a grand slam in that seventh inning, his 24th of the year. Or 24th home run, not 24th grand slam. That would be record setting. Gregorius hit two home runs, one in the sixth, one in the seventh. His first put the Yankees on the board, and his second set his new personal best in home runs, and it's also the new record for home runs by a shortstop on the Yankees, which he set last year's 25. Derek Jeter never did that. Giancarlo Stanton was also part of the home run party in the seventh inning, hitting his 34th of the season. Unfortunately, the Yankees couldn't score in the bottom of the eighth or ninth, and they fell 8-7. On Sunday, the Yankees held a small lead of one run, heading into the top of the eighth inning, when Aaron Boone called upon Dellin Betances to record a six-out save. I'm not sure what he was thinking. It just seemed like one of those days when we were going to get bad Betances. And that's what happened. He was giving up dinky hits too, which is the most frustrating. I mean, if he gave up like a home run or like hard hit, like really hard hit balls, but you know, the ball that was hit to put the Blue Jays ahead 3-2 was such a, it was just a bloop. And annoying, and the Blue Jays almost went up 4-2, but thanks to a rundown, the Yankees got an out at home. And the offense had the bottom of the eighth and ninth to score, just like they had on Saturday, and couldn't do it on Sunday either. So the Yankees lost 2 of 3 to the Blue Jays, to the fourth place Blue Jays. To the Blue Jays that they swept in 4 games. Is that in August? I think it was in August. Now, the other bad thing about them losing to the Blue Jays is that the magic number for the Red Sox to clinch the AL East is 2, so it will probably happen in Yankee Stadium this week. That's really annoying. Thankfully, the Rays took care of a little business for the Yankees and beat the A's on Sunday. So the Yankees' wild card lead, or at least for the first wild card, is 1.5 games. This team is so frustrating. I can't. You can go from one night, Friday, being like, yeah, this is how they should play down the stretch, and hopefully they can do it, to Sunday afternoon being like, they're probably going to lose home field in the wild card game. It is a real possibility at this point. And I think Yankee fans need to prepare themselves for that. Next up, a funny headline that made me laugh a lot last night. But first, so on Sunday nights, I am on duty for Baseball Prospectus. Actually, I'm on duty for them the whole weekend. I write their What You Need to Know column, and I cover Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. But I really only really pay attention on Sunday. Don't tell anyone. So last night I was looking at Yankees.com, as I am wont to do when I'm on duty, and I saw a headline that made me laugh a lot. It said, Yankees turn attention to wild card race after loss. Seriously? Did these guys actually think they had a chance to steal the division away from the Red Sox? You lost 2 out of 3 to the Twins and then followed up that embarrassment by losing 2 of 3 to Toronto at home. You should have been paying attention to the wild card race for the past 3 weeks. After the game on Sunday, Betances spoke to reporters, and he said to put the blame on him for the loss, which, don't worry, we're doing that. But he also said that it sucks that the Red Sox are pretty much on their way to winning the division, but you got to give them credit. They've had a hell of a season. Then he added, now it's up to us to do the best we can for the next 4 series and try to lock down home field advantage for the wild card. Yeah, the Red Sox have had a hell of a season because they can beat up on shitty teams, which is something the Yankees just can't do. If the Yankees had a better record against the Royals, Orioles and teams like them, the AL East would look a lot different right now. But since they seem to play down to bad teams and always find a way to lose more games than they should, they're looking up at the Red Sox in the standings with a really strained neck. It's embarrassing. And what makes the Yankees think that they're going to flip a switch and play better? They've looked awful for weeks now. And Mike Francesa keeps calling them the worst 90-win team he's ever seen. I'm not sure if that's actually true, but it sometimes feels that way. When you have a game like Friday nights, where their starter is lights out and the offense is on a roll, you think, okay, this is how they should be playing against bad teams. Then you have a game on Saturdays and think, what are these guys even doing out there? And that's mostly Sabathia and Kainley because, you know, most of the time, if a team scores 7 runs, they're going to win a game. And then Sunday comes along and you just throw your hands up in frustration. They should have won that game. Betances needs to be better while the bullpen is shorthanded. Good news for the Yankees is they called up Justice Sheffield. He's the number 27 prospect in the MLB pipeline, and he's number one in the Yankees system. Like, he didn't fare so well in the deciding game of the International League Championship Series on Saturday. He gave up 3 unearned runs in 1 inning, but the Yankees have been grooming him to be a reliever, and they're hoping he can help them over the next 2 weeks. Starting in August, Sheffield started coming out of the bullpen, and he made 7 appearances. Pitched to a 2.91 ERA, and 4 of those appearances were for multiple innings. More good news for the Yankees is Aaron Judge may be in the lineup against the Red Sox, and Aroldis Chapman may be on his way back. So that will also help the bullpen tremendously if he comes back and he's throwing like he normally does. And with the addition of Sheffield, the bullpen will have 3 lefties, including Zach Britton and Stephen Tarpley. So let's talk about this wild card race. 1.5 games up on the A's. That is just, you know what this is reminding me of? It's reminding me of 2012 when the Yankees and Orioles were fighting for first place in the AL East. And the Orioles would keep tying the Yankees, but then falling back a game. And they were neck and neck nearly the whole month of September. I remember it being really stressful. So this year, the Yankees have to worry about the A's not only catching up to them, but pulling ahead. And it seems likely that that could happen because while the Yankees are playing 3 games against the Red Sox starting Tuesday, the A's are playing 3 games against the Angels at home starting Tuesday. I didn't mean Wednesday, Tuesday. And they're following up that series with 3 against the Twins. Now, the Yankees are playing, I think they're playing the Orioles after the Red Sox, because I believe that they're only playing AL East teams the rest of the season. Let's check that. I just want to make sure that I'm right. Yes. They play 3 against the Orioles on the 21st to the 23rd. Then they go to Tampa for 4, which will be a make or break series because the Rays like playing spoiler and they play very well at home. And then the season closes out with 3 more against the Red Sox in Fenway. So the Yankees have a stronger schedule than the A's do. The A's are also closing out on the road, but they're playing 3 against the Mariners and 3 against the Angels. So this is going to be a nerve-wracking final 2 weeks of the season. And the Yankees need to play better. They need to string together a few wins, not lose 2 out of 3 to crappy teams. Like, they need to sweep the Orioles this weekend. No 2 out of 3 nonsense. Sweep. The Orioles are horrible, and there's no excuse losing to them. They have no one left on that team. So that's what the Yankees need to do. Up next, we'll take a trip around the league. But first, everyone loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person, which in my case would be Duran Duran, or being there in the crowd to cheer on our Yankees. And thanks to Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all of the live events you want to go to. You can sort tickets by price, or you can look at seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Just go to the App Store if you have an iPhone or Google Play for Android and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase you make is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. So download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. And finally, we're going to take a trip around the league. Things are getting crazy in the National League, and I am loving every minute of it. Last night, the Cardinals and Dodgers played, and the Cardinals shut them out 5-0. So now the Cardinals and Dodgers are in a tie for the second wild card in the National League. The Dodgers will be playing the Rockies next. The Rockies currently hold a half-game lead in the NL West over the Dodgers. The Braves will be hosting the Cardinals for a series that could affect the NL Wild Card and the NL East. The Braves are 4.5 games ahead of the Phillies for the NL East division title. If the Braves win and the Phillies lose to the Mets, that race will essentially be over. And the Cardinals will need to win in Atlanta to keep pace with the Dodgers for the second wild card. And the Diamondbacks, who were neck and neck with the Rockies and Dodgers, keep falling off even further. And if they can't string together some wins over the next few days, they will be on the verge of playoff elimination. They're currently 4.5 games back in the NL West race and 4 in the wild card race. They'll be facing the Cubs, who were also in a close race, only 2.5 games over the Brewers for the NL Central. And Milwaukee will be hosting the Reds for 3 games. So it is going to be a fun 3 days for anyone who isn't a fan of those teams involved in these close races. Like right now, I am giddy because I wanted chaos in the National League, and it seems to be happening. So I hope this chaos continues the next 2 weeks. I hope things get down to the last weekend. That'll be exciting. Of course, knowing my luck, that's what's going to happen to the Yankees, and I will be stressed out. But anyway, as I mentioned before, the Red Sox will probably clinch the AL East in Yankee Stadium, which is really annoying. They bested the Mets 2 out of 3 this weekend, including beating Jacob deGrom on Sunday afternoon. The Mariners are about to be eliminated from the playoffs yet again. They haven't made the playoffs since 2001, when they won 116 games and lost to the Yankees in 5 in the ALCS. They're facing the Astros, who are well on their way to wrapping up the AL West. They're currently 4.5 games up on the A's. So there will be a battle of the NL West basement this week when the Padres host the Giants. The Giants snapped their 11-game losing streak against the Rockies this weekend. In fact, they beat the Rockies 2 out of 3, which is why the Rockies' lead over the Dodgers is so small. There will also be a battle of the AL East basement between the Blue Jays and Orioles. But the Orioles are beyond the basement at this point. They're essentially in the Earth's mantle. That's how bad they are. They're 43 and 106. Even more embarrassing, the Yankees dropping six games to that inept team. The Royals and Pirates are playing a meaningless interleague series in Pittsburgh this week. The Royals are the second worst team in the majors with a 52-97 record. What a difference a couple of years make. Remember what a big deal it was when the Royals were good and they made the World Series back to back, although they lost the first one because, you know, it was an even year and the Giants had to win. And then they won in 2015. And here it is 2018, and they're back to their losing ways. The owners couldn't keep the team good, essentially, which is, I guess, frustrating for the fans because they went so long without their team even making the playoffs. And in two consecutive years, they make the World Series, lose one, win one. And now they're back to being the bad Royals. And finally, let's talk about a funny story that came out Sunday afternoon. Ben Zobrist rode his bike to Wrigley in his uniform. In his entire uniform. He was dressed for the game, riding his bike through the streets of Chicago to Wrigley Field. A few Cub fans documented it on Twitter by taking pictures of him. And I think that's so hilarious that he did that. But could you imagine? You're either walking down a street or you're in a car stopped at either a stop sign or a light, and you see someone riding by on a bicycle with a basket, not a, you know, banana seat, flowery basket like us little girls had. But there's a basket on that bike. So could you imagine sitting there at a stop sign and seeing a guy go by in a uniform and think, wow, what a weirdo. And then realize when you look at his face, wait, that's Ben Zobrist. And a couple days earlier, Anthony Rizzo wore his whole uniform on the plane on the way back to Wrigley Field from Washington, D.C. And he was the only one who did it. But he left Nats Park to go on the charter in his full uniform. And when he was asked about why he decided to go on the plane in his full uniform, he said, got to be ready to play. But then he also admitted that he didn't bring another change of clothes and that he would have been flying back to, or he would have been flying in his jersey and pants, win or lose. So, of course, Joe Maddon thought it was great. And, you know, he was actually a little disappointed that he didn't think of it and that he didn't have the whole team put on their uniforms for the charter. Wait, I screwed that up. The Cubs were flying from Chicago to DC for the makeup game on Thursday, and then they had to go back to Wrigley for a three-game series against the Reds. I think the Cubs have played or are going to play like 30 games in a row because of all these messed up games and rainouts and makeups, and it's kind of crazy. So that is it for today's podcast. This episode of Locked On Yankees has been brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I have been your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at Stace Gots. And once again, you can email us questions at lockedonnyy@gmail.com or tweet me at lockedonyankees. You can also rate this podcast on Apple and on Google Podcasts. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. And please rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. Enjoy the off day, everyone.